Turn your Bibles tonight to Psalms 122. Psalms 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad to be in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be a part of the church tonight? There's some people that think they don't need the church. I just like to say to them, you mean you don't want something that Jesus created? He said to Peter, he said, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. My church. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Amen. His church. We need the church tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We ask you to bless. Speak to your servant and touch every heart and ear to hear tonight in Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to speak to you. The world needs a revival church. The world needs a revival church. Vance Packard calls America a nation of strangers. Today, folks, an epidemic of loneliness in our society. 4 out of 10 experience intense loneliness. Everywhere you look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship. There are signs they're hungering for community and a sense of family. When you see beer commercials, they don't sell beer, they sell fellowship. No one, when you see a beer, you don't see somebody just sitting somewhere on a fishing bank drinking by themselves. They're having a party somewhere, amen? They're drinking, they're never portrayed drinking alone and always in the context of enjoying each other's company. They say things, it doesn't get any better than this. People long to be connected. Rick Warren, the purpose-driven church, said this, there are many analogies for a Christian disconnected from a church. Things like a football player without a team, a soldier without a platoon, a tuba player without an orchestra, a sheep without a flock. But the most understandable and biblical picture is that of a child without a family. The family is the church. God does not want his children growing up in isolation from each other. So he created a spiritual family on earth for us. A Christian without a church family is an orphan. Come on. I asked the question, do you really need the church? Rick Warren went on to say, the church provides people with things they cannot find anywhere else in the world. I believe that tonight, don't you? Come on, hallelujah. The church provides worship. It helps you to focus on God. In Matthew 2, verse 1 and 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You see, they could have done it at home, but they wanted to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. The one who gave his life for the church. Amen. That's where they wanted to be. Hallelujah. Worship, folks, prepares you spiritually. Worship prepares you emotionally for what lies ahead tomorrow. And sometimes in our trials, we focus so intently on our experience that we forget to focus on God. Clemens versus Boston College in the early 2000, 11 seconds to go in the ball game. Will Harper fires the ball to his favorite receiver and outstretched Aaron Kelly, sailing across the goal line for the go-ahead touchdown. And the only problem that he lost his focus at the last second and the ball ricocheted off of his hands to the ground. You see, Crimson lost the game. Tonight, folks, when you lose your focus, you lose. Hear me tonight. I said, when you lose your focus, you lose. In Psalm 71, verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord. Thou art my trust from my youth." Amen. Over and over in this Psalms, he calls to mind the character and the attributes of God. Things like his glory, his power and his strength, his faithfulness. And when you are in the middle of trials, everyone will have an opinion. Everybody will have a suggestion, or somebody will give you a remedy. But folks, we know there's only one thing that you can put on all your trust in God, amen, and he will take you through your problem. The church also provides fellowship. What it does, it helps you face life's problems by providing the support and the encouragement of other Christians. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, "And they continued," how? "Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." Amen. That is koinonia, something in common. Amen. They had something in common. I ask you tonight, do we have something in common? Amen. I don't know about you, but I love my God. I don't know about you, but I hope I love your God. Hallelujah. Jonathan's armor bearer told him in 1 Samuel 14, verse 7, "And his armor bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Amen. That is support, folks. He was encouraging Jonathan. And there are lessons. You ever see those geese when they're flying south? There's a lesson in that. It's called brotherly love. It's called fellowship. You see, this fall, when you see those geese heading south for the winter, they're flying in this V formation. You ever see that? You might be interested in knowing what science has discovered about why they fly the way they do. It has been learned that as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird that is immediately following them. And by flying in the V formation, the whole flock, they add, listen to this, they add at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Think about that tonight. Christians who share a common direction, Christians who share a common sense of community, can get where they are going quicker and easier. Why? Because they are traveling in the trust of one another. You see, whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and the resistance of trying to go it alone. And quickly, that bird gets back into its formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird that is immediately in front of them. You see, folks, if we have as much sense as a goose tonight, we will stay in formation with those who are headed the same way that we're going. Come on. Hallelujah. The lead goose, he gets tired. There's nobody in front of him. So when he gets tired, what he does is he rotates back into the wing, and another goose files to the point. You see, folks, it pays us to take turns doing hard jobs with people at the church, just like the geese flying south. These geese, they honk from behind. You know why they do that? To encourage those up front to keep up their speed. And what do we say when we honk from behind? We say things like, "Don't tell me you're a Christian, show me." Right? When a goose gets sick or a goose gets wounded from a shot and falls out, you know what happens? Two geese fall out of formation and follow him down to help and protect him. They stay with him until he is either able to fly or else he dies. And then they launch out on their own with another formation to catch up with the other original group. You see, we need to get better at protecting. We need to get better at reaching out to those who have left or are discouraged. Amen? Folks, that seems, come on, that seems a little enough price to pay to win the lost and to minister to one another. Even geese have sense enough to know it works every time. Fellowship helps you face life's problems. You know what else the church provides? It provides discipleship. It helps fortify your faith. By learning the truth of God's word, you cannot, folks, you cannot be aware of something of which you are not first aware of. I will let my conscience, you say, I will let it be my guide. It's not a good rule altogether. You see, while the conscience is good, and the conscience is given by God, it alone cannot be your guide. You see, well, why? Well, because by and large, your conscience has been shaped by your environment. See, some people don't even have a conscience. It's shaped by your principles. And after learning the truth, you can apply biblical principles to your lifestyle. And the truth of the word has never meant to stay on tablets of stone or in pages of the Bible. It's that God didn't never intend for it to stay there. He wants it here in our heart. Amen. To help reshape our conscience. The church also provides ministry. Amen. That ministry helps you find your talents. The Bible says God gives you pastors to help to equip you for the work of the ministry. Using your talents in serving others, the ministry helps you to do that. In Matthew 20, 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. If God came to minister, who do you think you are? Well, that's not for me, or that's not. God came to minister. Don't you think He expects you to minister? It's given by God to serve others. David's harp playing dispelled the evil spirits oppressing King Saul. And see, folks, when the Israelites went into Egypt, they learned more than just shepherding. When they came out of there, they had talented hands and they had minds that were used to doing other things. They were embroideries and engravers and pens of skillful writers and songwriters, on and on and on. All these things are skills given by God. These gifts are from God. Paul had instructions to Timothy. He said, do not neglect the gift. Stir up. He said, stir up the gift. In other words, keep your gift alive. So many people, I've known people in my past who had a gift at something and they didn't want anybody to ever ask them to do anything. How selfish. Come on. People go in the workplace. They don't want their bosses to know they know certain things because they might be asked to do something more. Paul told Timothy, stir it up. Don't neglect that gift. Use it. In 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God is saying, by if you using your gift, you're being a good steward. Use your gift, folks. The church needs your gifts. Amen. Understand me something, folks. When God wanted, He had the promised land for the Israelites, did He not? When they left Egypt, where were they headed? To the promised land. How do you think the promised land would have looked like if all they were shepherds, like they were when they went in? You see, in Egypt, they learned all kinds of trades. You know, when they built the tabernacle, they built things and they carved it out of wood and they covered it with gold and all. This was things they learned in Egypt. All of you are here tonight. All of us came out of Egypt. We've all got different gifts that God wants to use to forward His kingdom. Amen. And He wants to use you to be a blessing to the church so it can grow and minister to people who need God and bring in more gifts. The church provides evangelism. Helps you fulfill your mission. Your mission. The church helps you do that. If our mission in life alone is to reach heaven, then why doesn't God take us to heaven in the moment we're saved? Huh? Because God has work for you to do. You have your mission field. Tomorrow, you know, tonight you're going to go home to your mission field. And all those neighbors around you, that's your mission field. Then tomorrow you're going to get up and go to work, your other mission field. On the way to work, you might stop at a gas station, that other mission field. And on the way home, you might go to the store to get some groceries, another mission field that you go to often. If we don't reach them, what are they going to say to you when you stand there on Judgment Day? And they say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you talk to me? Reaching your family, reaching your friends, reaching your neighbors, reaching your co-workers, for Christ is your mission field. Now see, sometimes we get focused, I just want to see my family saved, that's all I want to see. How about if you reach other people and maybe your family will come in too? Getting real quiet on me. Psalms 96:2, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. How do we show forth His salvation? We live it. We tell people. Psalms 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Acts chapter 16, 19 through 26. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Are you troubling your city? In other words, are you talking different things to people that they don't normally talk about? Come on, what's the big talk? Smacking people in the head with football helmets. That's the big talk going on, is it not? Nimbus calls, unbelievable. How about we change that? You know, the God that saved me, he would like to help you. Come on. He said, these Jews, they're stirring up things. And teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Is that what you're afraid of? And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Come on, what is God saying? Hey, you worship me, no matter what's going on, I'll open some doors for you. Now, I know what you're thinking. People, what in this world, what this world needs today is revival. Paul and Silas were preaching this great message, were they not? They were preaching the message of Jesus. Paul was letting people know in Acts 19 that there should be no God which gods which are made with hands. But their message was very offensive to the Romans. And sometimes, folks, we feel persecution, don't we? What I preach sometimes from this pulpit gets a little offensive. But it's the Word of God. Amen? Now listen, what this world needs is revival. Paul and Silas were caught, and they were taken into the marketplace to the rulers in Acts 17:8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. They were brought to the magistrates, and they were accused of causing great trouble. The Bible tells us they were teaching customs. And this was against the law for the Romans to be taught. So the multitude, what they did is they rose up against them and the magistrates, and they ripped off their clothes and they were commanded to be beaten. In 2 Corinthians 6:4-5, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. I still haven't got to tell you what I think you're thinking. Listen, Paul and Silas were the modern day preachers of their time. They preached with passion. They preached with boldness. But it turned out to be a rough time in their ministries. We've all had our rough times, have we not? They were beaten for spreading the word of God. Their clothes were ripped off. They didn't have their freedom, folks. They were locked up into prison. And were prisoners in the city where they were preaching the word. But God, I was telling people about you. God, I'm trying to live for you. Why are these problems coming my way? But God. Problems come sometimes when we're trying to do what's right. And sometimes we feel like prisoners. Lord, what's going on? They didn't have the freedom. But if this happened today, we'd be thinking about keeping our mouths shut, wouldn't we? Now, I'm sure this was a low time for these guys, and they lost everything they had. And they were beaten for spreading the word of God. Now, if you think about that, they could have just chose to shut up. They could have said, I'm not praising God. I'm not feeling like it right now. I'm hurting. They preached the message of Jesus Christ. They had commanded them and commissioned them to do. Jesus wanted you to preach. He wanted you to tell people. He commissioned them and they were doing it. But there's something to really love about these two. Because the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang the praises of their God. Beaten Christians singing praises of God. And the prisoners, the Bible says, heard them. Listen, folks, we go through things sometimes. And people around us see us going through things sometimes. And suddenly the Bible says there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Were these just doors for Paul and Silas, or was it for everyone? Huh? Listen, folks, if you find yourself in prison by the enemy with trials and tests, don't give up. Keep your faith. Come on. Keep your faith in God. You just keep on holding on. You just keep on praising God. The promises are true. Come on. You know what it says in Hebrews 13:5? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even when you're in the prison, I'm there with you. He'll be right there with us. And He'll help us in time of trouble. He'll help us in time of need. In 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 25, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes more measured, in prison more frequent, in deaths often of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. Paul's been through it. Folks, let me tell you tonight, don't listen to the devil. Paul didn't listen to the devil. Come on. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Come on. Just keep your eyes straight ahead. Keep them on Him. Focus on Jesus Christ. Stay in His perfect will. And He'll always be there right for you. Look to Jesus. Now listen, you might find yourself in that midnight hour. You might find yourself doubting that there is a God. Listen, folks. God is not going to be a God who leaves you stranded. In the midnight hour, in the bad times, in the good times, He will always be there for you. When you're stuck in the mire, folks, He'll pull you out. The Bible says God praises in all things. Sing praises in all things. We need to be bold. Amen? Like Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:2. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. When you're down, praise Him. Amen? When you're up, praise Him. Amen? When you're in the valley, praise Him. When you're in the mountain, praise Him. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. Hallelujah. You just keep on praising God with everything within you, inside of you, just like Paul and Silas. The shackles of your bondage will fall off if you'll praise Him in the midnight hour. Now listen, they didn't have any place to go. We're going to praise Him right here. They had shackles on their feet. They seemed to have no hope. They were beaten. What did they do? They began to praise God. No place to go. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in who? In us. They sang praises with everything they had. Hallelujah. And about the time their praises reached God's throne, He unlocked the chains and they were free. Amen. And all because they give Him the praise, the honor, and the glory. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in new time. Praise Him in the evening. Come on. Worship Him and He'll make a way for you. We need a revival church, folks. Come on. We cannot be a revival church if we can't praise God in the good and the bad. Hallelujah. Because if you worship my God, He'll make a way for you. He will unlock your chains. Worship the King. Praise His holy name. Give Him a glorify His name. Give God the glory. We don't feel like it. You think they did? In Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know what they did, the disciples? They turned their world upside down. And God didn't cause the earthquake in that jail cell, folks, to shake off their chains and free them. Hear me. I said God didn't cause the earthquake to shake off their chains and open the doors to free Paul and Silas. You know why God did that? To save a jailer and his family. You may find yourself where you're at to be a blessing and a help to somebody else around you. Hear me what I'm saying tonight, folks. Because you know what the Bible says when they sang praises unto God? Who heard them? Everybody in the jail heard them. You know who else was listening? A jailer. He said, man, these guys can worship their God after being beaten and put in that old stinking cell and chained up. If they can worship that God, I want to know that God. Let me tell you something. Your neighbors are watching you. If you can live for God, if you can be faithful to church, if you can reach the lost in your world, your neighbors are going to want to know your God. Your coworkers are going to know your God. Your family members will want to know your God. God will do great things in your life, not for you, but for others. Because everything He does for us, we are to glorify Him. He's the one that gets the glory, not us. He did it for the jailer. The same power that empowered Paul and Silas to preach this Acts 2:38 message is still flowing today. God hasn't changed, folks. We have. God still moves. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, folks. I want to see God bust some doors open for you. I want to see God take the shackles off of you. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need God, you can have this powerful God that we serve. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. He's not going to change. This world's got desperate people in it. And desperate people call for desperate times and desperate measures. Acts 5:19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. Let me tell you something, folks. Hell is larger right now than it's ever been. And every day it enlarges more and more. Hell wasn't intended for you and I. Hell is not intended for your neighbor. Hell is not intended for your coworker. Hell is not intended for your family member. It was intended for the devil and his angels. In Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Folks, it's time for the church today to break out. It's time for us to allow God to break down the wall and to the strongholds that Satan, amen, and hell has built around us. Paul and Silas were helping people. They were healing the sick. They were reaching out the poor. They were standing against evil. They were spreading the word of God. That's what God has called us to do. It doesn't matter what we think. We can get down on we can get down and say, why does this have to happen to me? Because maybe there's a jailer next door to you. Maybe there's a jailer that you work with. God didn't open that stuff for them. He did it for the jailer and his family. Come on, folks. Sometimes we get this pity party and our lip drags so much we trip over it. You just stay faithful to God. You just stay praising God. He'll open your doors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12, verse 10. When they were passed the first and second ward, they came under the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith an angel departed from them. We are surrounded by problems. Hear what this just says? The Bible says They were praising God. And their chains fell off. And the doors opened. But they went out through the first problem. Then they went out through the second problem. And then they came to the iron problem. There's problems all around you. But I'm telling you, folks, if you're faithful to God, the Bible says they went through that first problem and went right on through. They came to the second problem and they went right on through. They came to the iron gate and they went right on through. Because we don't praise God and worship God like we should, so many times these problems around us, they weigh us down. And all we can think about is our problems. When God says, if you just praise and worship me, I'll walk you right through those problems. Come on, folks. Let's not think about our own problems. Let's not have pity parties. If we'll just worship God, if we'll just praise Him no matter what, He'll pay. Come on. Let me walk you through. Oh, there's a problem. Come on. There's another problem. Just keep on walking. Just keep on praising. Oh, look at that big iron gate. Come on. We're going to go right through it. We're surrounded by problems. Come on, everywhere you look, if you watch or listen to the news, you can be depressed every day. Come on, even those news people, oh, let me tell you of a silver lining in all this news. Somebody petted a puppy. They look for anything because there's so much problems. There's so many things coming in our lives. Folks, we got a silver lining every day. We can wake up and say, God, I woke up, you woke me up this morning. You didn't have to, but you did. So there's some problems everywhere, aren't they not? Come on. The solution is just a prayer away. Come on. God has all of our problems under control. Come on, who's in control? You or God? If you're in control, welcome to your problem. Come on. God has all our problems under control, and all you have to do is hand them over to Him. Come on, God. I'm going to sleep tonight. You're up all night anyways. Deal with this. Come on, when you go home tonight, give them to God. He's up all night, folks. You go to sleep. Get up in the morning. Oh, there's them problems. Get on your knees. God, here you go again. I'm going through the gate. Come on. Just keep on walking me, Lord. It doesn't matter, folks. Give them to Him. What is the whatever situation is, God has the solution. Amen? No matter what, the hurt, God can heal it. Come on, you got hurt, God can heal it. No matter how desperate we may be, God can deliver us. No matter what sin is, God, who is the God who forgives us sin. Amen. No matter how much hell and devil you face, God is your help. Come on. The devil ain't nothing anyways. Let's stand. He ain't nothing anyways. He's a fallen angel. God created him. What are you worried about him for? Man, go talk to the Creator. Hey, you see that thing you created? You take care of him right now. I'm sick and tired of him. How about it tonight, folks? Do you want to be a revival church? Come on. I want to know anybody who wants revival. I want you to come up here and say, God, I'm going to just worship you. Come on. How about it? If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, come up here and worship God. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you need deliverance tonight, come up here and talk to the deliverer. How about it? Just come up here and praise him a little bit. Let's act like Paul and Silas. Let's have a little praise worship right now. Hallelujah. God, I'm surrounded by problems, but I'm going to praise you. Anybody want deliverance tonight? I tell you, come on up here and worship your God.